We turn to God's word once again, and we turn to read together in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 26, and we read from the first verse. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. Upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and your renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. Your judgments come upon the earth. The people of the world learn righteousness. Though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil. Regard not the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted high. They do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. Lord our God, other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honour. If you don't have peace of mind, your whole life is affected. If you're anxious, if you're troubled, if you're afraid, if you're filled with concerns, if you're burdened by worries, then everything you do is coloured by that. Doesn't your mind keep going back to the worries and the anxieties? They crowd out everything else. They soon seem to fill your horizon. And for the Christian who may be lacking peace, their Christian life and service really is paralysed. How can you serve the Lord with joy if you're constantly burdened and afraid and anxious? If you don't have peace, then your whole life has a cloud cast over it. Peace is a tremendous blessing. We have it. We take it for granted. When we lose our peace, then we understand what a precious gift of God it is. We want to turn to think of that subject of peace today. Returning to Isaiah 26 in verses 3 and 4. The peace of God. Peace of God. Dear words penned by the prophet in troubled times. The days in which Isaiah ministered were not easy. There were storm clouds looming. There were threats from enemies. There were spiritual crises in Judah. There were difficult days. There were many reasons why God's people might be afraid, why they might be bereft of peace. And so here is God's answer for his people in troubled times, whether it's in outward circumstances or in your own heart and life. The peace of God is something that is very, very precious. We think, first of all, as we look at these verses, of an unwavering trust. An unwavering trust. Despite the translations, the first thing that is mentioned in verse 3 is trusting in the Lord. Because he trusts in you, you will keep him in perfect peace. And that's where we need to begin. If we are thinking of having peace with God and peace in our hearts and minds. We need to begin with trust in the Lord. Here is the one real route to peace. And unless this description fits you, then you will never truly have peace. You will not know this peace of God unless you are one who is trusting in Him. It speaks of the one whose mind is steadfast, the one who trusts in the Lord. And it immediately tells us that here are words that apply only to the true Christian, to those who belong to the Lord by His grace, those who are trusting in Him. Not the religious, not the church going, not the good living, but those who genuinely trust in the Lord. Because you can be all of those other things. You can go to church. You can be a moral, good living person. There are plenty of them in Ulster. And yet not be trusting in the Lord for salvation. Not genuinely committed to Him. You might have a form of religion. Might even deceive other people. And yet there's no heart in it because you're not trusting in the Lord. So it's only the true child of God who can have this peace. We've got to begin in the right place with a heart commitment to the Lord. Because that is what faith in the Lord is. And the Philippian prison officers told in Acts 16, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of that commitment that's essential. Sometimes we think of believing as simply a matter of ticking off theological propositions. Yet you can tick off all the theology and not be saved because it's no impact on your heart and life and you're not trusting in the Lord. That, Isaiah reminds us, is essential. To be looking away from ourselves. Not self-obsessed, not inward-looking. Recognizing the inadequacy of our own resources for the troubles and the trials of life, for the difficult and the hard experiences, and admitting we're not sufficient. That's not easy in a culture that exalts self-sufficiency. Do it yourself. And to admit our insufficiency strikes at our pride, our self-confidence. We've got to look away from ourselves. We've got to begin with the biggest problem of all, our own sin and our lostness and our need of salvation. And that first has to be addressed. We look to the Lord who's made the provision that's necessary, the provision of Christ for salvation. Trust in the Lord first to deal with your sin and your lostness, and then trust in Him for the daily needs and the challenges that you'll face. Begin at the beginning. Otherwise you'll not really have peace. Many people want peace, but they're not willing to trust in the Lord. They're not willing first to have their sin addressed, to seek forgiveness. They want peace, but they don't want to pay the price for peace. And yet if we seek peace anywhere else, eventually it's going to disappoint us. Sooner or later, it will fail. Trust is essential. Trust in the Lord. But peace isn't automatic even for the Christian who belongs to the Lord. The Christian can lose his peace. There's a need for a mind that's steadfast. And the idea in the word is the idea of leaning, of resting your weight on the Lord. If you sit down on a chair, you trust it if you put your weight on it. If it looks a bit rickety, if it looks as if it might give way under you, you won't trust it. You won't put your full weight on it. You maybe sit on the edge and be ready to jump up if it gives way. I've sat in a few chairs like that. You can't trust them. And sometimes people want to treat God like that. They don't quite trust Him for the times of need, and they don't really lean their weight on Him. They want a bit of God and a bit of their own resources. And that's not trusting God. It's really trusting yourself. We've got to be leaning on the Lord. Our minds, the way we think, our priorities, our ambitions, everything about us is focused on the Lord. We're putting our weight on Him for salvation and for daily grace. And how can we be steadfast? Well, we need to use the means God has given us to strengthen our faith and our trust. If our mind is to be steadfast, it's got to be a mind that's shaped by God's Word. That you read it, and you think about it, and you meditate it, and you take it in, and it shapes you, it affects the whole outlook on life that you've got. We've got to be people of the Word, and we've got to be people of prayer. That we pour out our hearts to the Lord, not saying a few routine words because we think we should, but praying, opening our hearts to the Lord. That's how our minds will be steadfast, if we're people of the Word and we're people of prayer. Very interesting in Philippians 4. We looked at this when we studied Philippians. That there's a connection made there in Philippians 4 and 6 and 7. Between prayer and peace. If we make our requests known to God, then the peace of God will keep our hearts and minds. If we're not praying people, we will not have peace. It's as simple as that. If we neglect our walk with the Lord, then we should not be surprised if we've no peace. If we're constantly anxious and burdened and fearful. So often the root cause is back in a lack of walking with Christ. A lack of reading the Word. A lack of prayer. And if we're not walking with the Lord, we will not have peace. There needs to be an unwavering trust. Leaning on the Lord. We live in a world that tells us, be self-sufficient. Don't need anybody. The Word of God says you need the Lord. And you've got to lean on Him. And you've got to trust Him day by day. An unwavering trust. If we try to start somewhere else to find peace, then we'll be disappointed. And we will be hurt. And we'll be harmed spiritually. So foolish. It's, in a sense, very simple. And yet it humbles our pride. To walk this pathway of trusting the Lord doesn't leave you room to be proud of yourself. And to feel what a great fellow I am. I can do it. And we can imbibe the world's can-do mentality. Now, in some areas of life, that may be very useful. But in the Christian life, it is fatal. It is trusting the Lord, leaning your weight on the Lord. And that's the path to peace. If you don't do that, don't be surprised if you have no peace and you struggle. You've got to be walking with the Lord, people of the Word, people of prayer, close to Christ, if we're to enjoy this peace. An unwavering trust. Then secondly, we have a perfect peace. Here is the blessing. Here's the promise to those who do lean on the Lord, who do put their weight on the Saviour. And it is a beautiful promise. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. You will keep him in perfect peace. You. Underlining, if it's necessary, this is God-given peace. It is not the product of your temperament or your personality. There are people who are laid back, who are easygoing, who seem always to be at peace. Well, now, sometimes that can be deceptive, of course. But this is not something that you manufacture or work up in yourself. It's God-given. You think of Christ in John 14:27, "My peace I give you." Comes from the Lord. It is not of this world. It really is supernatural. And it comes from the Lord who has dealt with our sins, who has reconciled us to God. Jesus truly could say, "My peace I give you." Why? Because he shed his blood for us. And he dealt with our sins. And he paid the price of our salvation. "My peace I give you." That's why Paul can say in Ephesians 2:14, "He himself is our peace." He is our peace. He is God's gift to us. And with the Saviour comes that wonderful peace that only God can provide. And what is peace? Well, to a lot of people, peace is the absence of strife, of what disturbs. Give my head peace. You just want a bit of quiet. And there are people, no doubt, in many parts of the world today who would settle for the end of war and strife. But peace in the Bible is something much richer and fuller than that. Oh yes, absence of strife is a vital thing. We're not minimizing its value, but peace in God's word is far, far more. The word shalom, still used, of course, in modern Hebrew, shalom, peace, even as a greeting. What does it mean? It's the idea of wholeness, completeness. It describes a life that in every part is as God wants it to be. In godly order, reflecting the likeness of our Saviour. That's shalom. Harmony wouldn't be a bad word to use to translate it. In harmony with God. And so it can be in harmony with people. But God first. Shalom. Wholeness. Harmony. Something that brings a sense of security and safety. It's hard to have peace if you're insecure, if you feel threatened. One Old Testament commentator, E.J. Young, has said of this word, "It's true repose in the sunshine of God's favor." True repose in the sunshine of God's favour. And doesn't the Bible often speak of God's face shining on his people? That's the idea. That's the picture of it. You know, when you smile at someone, you smile at children, and there's a happiness and there's a warmth there. And when God gives us peace, there's that sense of his smile, of his favour, of his love, of his blessing. It's all there in shalom. The God who loves us. The God who's provided salvation. The God who cares for us and watches over us. Who's at peace with us because of what Christ has done. Wholeness and harmony. What a desirable blessing it is. A spiritual peace. Our hearts are at rest. That's what Paul tells us in Philippians 4. "The peace of God will keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus." The heart, the mind is the very center of what you are. It's at the very roots of who you are. There, God gives peace. And that will radiate out to the rest of your life. The very heart, the very core of your being is at peace. Then your whole life is going to be affected by it. Literally, Isaiah says, "You will keep in peace." Peace. He repeats it. It's for emphasis. It stresses the completeness, the comprehensiveness of that peace. It's telling us that whatever your fears, whatever your anxieties, whatever it is that troubles you, the answer is in the Lord, in His complete and perfect peace. At whatever point you're struggling, at whatever point you're anxious or troubled, the Lord is able to give His peace. Not in a thousand places where you don't need it, but in exactly the place where you do need it. Peace. Peace. And it is not telling us that if you're a Christian and you trust the Lord, you'll sail through life and there'll be no storms and no difficulties and no disappointments and no sorrows. It is not for one moment saying that. We know perfectly well that even as Christians we are not spared hard experiences and sorrows and disappointments and trials and difficulties. Doesn't Jesus say, in the world you will have tribulation? And the word is the idea of twisting and pressure. And for the Christian, there are going to be the twistings and the pressures. And it's right in the middle of that that God gives His peace. Sometimes He will remove the twisting and the pressure. Sometimes there will be relief outwardly. But there may not. There may not. It may be in the midst of the trials and the tests that He gives His peace, even as the trial continues. And He guards us. He guards us. It's a military word that's used of God guarding His people in Philippians 4. And here too, verse 1, we've a strong city, we've walls, we've ramparts. The enemy cannot harm us. Even in trials and sorrows, even when the tears flow and we can't see the light breaking ahead of us, we're still surrounded by God's love and God's power. And they're there. Even if sometimes you don't feel it, and you don't see it, it's there. He keeps you. And He's able to give you peace in the midst of the trials. There is a perfect peace, wholeness, harmony, even in trials, even in difficulties. It's God's gracious gift. An unwavering trust. A perfect peace. We thirdly, a secure foundation. A secure foundation. And it's good for us. It's good for us as God's people to keep reminding ourselves of the one in whom we trust. To keep coming back and focusing on the Lord. The danger in testing times is that we begin to see only the trials and the tests. You think of Peter as he was walking on the water to Jesus. And when his eyes were fixed on the Lord, all was well. But it's when he started to look at the storm and the waves and let them fill his attention, he began to sink. And isn't that true of us? That if we focus on the problems and we focus on the difficulties, and we become preoccupied with what might happen, we find ourselves starting to sink. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord, because He is worth our confidence. There may be things and there may be people in life you trust, and you discover they weren't worth your trust, and you're disappointed. Here's one who will never fail us. The Lord is the rock of ages. Literally, that's what it says. He is the rock of ages. The Lord. And it's the covenant name written in capital letters. the God who has shown us grace, grace to undeserving sinners like us, the God who's bound himself to us in an unbreakable covenant, despite our sin, despite our unworthiness, despite our failures. And he loves us, and he's committed to us, and he holds on to us. He is the Lord. And he's the rock of ages. A rock who is totally reliable. One who does not change like shifting shadows, as James puts it in James 1:17. And there's so many shifting shadows in life. So many things that prove deceptive and unreliable. Here is the rock. His care for us and his love for us never change. And he is the one who can give us strength. And we need that strength, don't we, every day for the different trials and situations that we have to cope with. And a rock that endures forever. Because trust in the Lord is not just for this life. It's for eternity. We are dealing with eternal things. Psalm 62:7, he is my mighty rock, my refuge. Don't we have good reason to trust him? He's never failed us. In Christ he loved us and gave himself for us. He will not fail. We are to trust him. Hold fast to him as he holds fast to us. That's what's so precious. Because our grip sometimes is very weak and you feel your fingers slipping, don't you, from the rock. And you think, if this goes on much longer, I'm going to let go. And I can't hold on any longer. And the Lord holds us. And keeps us on the rock. And doesn't let us go. And even when our sins and our failings mean we lose our sense of peace, there's always the possibility of restoration. There's always the way back from our wandering and our failing. We're promised in Psalm 37:24, though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. He will never let us fall finally. Here is one who merits our complete trust, a secure foundation. And in all the storms and all the difficulties and all the hard times, the rock stands. You know, we saw in the earthquake, the tsunami in Japan, how so much can be swept away that looked secure, that looked solid, even the rocks shaken and falling. Here's a rock that cannot be shaken. A sovereign, almighty, gracious God. And he will never fail us. And if you're a Christian today, can't you say amen? Isn't it true, as you look at life and whatever it has brought you, you can say the Lord never failed. And with the confidence that whatever will come, and whatever lies ahead of any one of us, the Lord will not fail. A secure foundation. And it brings us finally to think, fourthly, of an urgent summons. An urgent summons. Command from the Lord. Trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. These great truths demand personal action. They're not just theory. They're not a bit of abstract theology to put in a textbook and forget about them. This is truth to be lived. This is truth to change how you conduct yourself tomorrow and the next day and the next. In your work, in your family, in every relationship of life, in every place you find yourself, this needs action. Here's the exhortation to look to the Lord. We've said we need to be fixing our attention on the Lord. Don't just listen. Don't just say, yes, that's true, that's correct. Trust in the Lord. Do it. Do it yourself. Do it personally. Do it now. Trust in the Lord forever. Look to Him. Trust Him in your daily living. Seek His power and His grace to live to His glory. Look away from yourself, because that will depress you. And you'll see your sins, and your failings, and your weakness, and look to the Lord. We need to beware constantly of the danger of relying on the unreliable. And Christians can do that. God's people constantly are warned in Scripture, do not rely on the unreliable. On what or whom will fail you in your moment of need? Israel was warned about leaning on the other nations for their security, on Egypt or on other nations. And they would fail, and they did fail. So foolish. And yet Christians can repeat the folly, relying on those who can't help. Now, we can receive insight from those who don't know the Lord. They can have understanding of problems and situations that may help us. But we mustn't rely on those who don't know and love the Lord. And to seek the answers, the solutions, the help we need from those who don't share our trust in the Lord. Christians can seek their help and support in the wrong places. They can be trying to drink from what is described in Jeremiah 2 as broken cisterns. They don't hold water. The water just leaks away. And when you're thirsty and you go to them, there's nothing. And Christians can do that. And go to those who can't really help them. Those who don't understand their faith, their trust in the Lord, and don't share it. And they find there's no water when they're thirsty. We need to be seeking God's help. Seek it from God directly in prayer. Seek it through the counsel and the encouragement of fellow Christians who can bring God's word to help us, who can pray with us and for us, who can speak the word we need to hear that will help us through. Trust in the Lord. And so often it's through His people the Lord gives us the help we need. How sad when Christians throw away their peace, trusting in the untrustworthy, relying on the unreliable. We have a great God. We have a Rock of Ages. Let us rely on Him. Walk faithfully and closely with our Savior. Much in the Word, much in prayer. Keeping a good, healthy relationship with the Lord. And looking to Him and to His people for the help and strength we need. And that is the path to peace. And there is no other path. Other paths that look attractive that others are following, they're leading away from the Lord, not closer to Him. It's God who gives the peace. Let our minds be steadfast on the Lord, trusting in the Lord. And then we know the joy of that promise. He will keep us in perfect peace. He will not fail us. The rock will always be there for us in every time of need. May we know that peace does pass our understanding. Often it is utterly amazing. It's the peace of God. And it will guard and garrison our hearts by Christ Jesus.